Hey everyone, welcome back to Beyond the Label. I'm Ruby Sturt, and as always, I'm joined by the ever calm, ever wise Eric Marquette. How's it going, Eric?
I'm doing well, Ruby, thanks. Excited for this one. We're diving into something that honestly doesn't get talked about enough: educational rights for students with disabilities. It's a big topic, but so important.
Yeah, and I mean, when you start looking into it, you realize just how much legal stuff is actually there to protect students. Like in the US, there's the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, IDEA, which I always want to call it IDEA, like a light bulb moment, but it's actually an acronym. Anyway, it's all about making sure students with disabilities get what's called a free, appropriate public education, or FAPE. Bit of a mouthful, but basically it means every student has the right to an education that fits their needs, not just a one-size-fits-all thing.
Exactly. And it's not just about getting into the classroom, is it? It's about having equal access to learning, to resources, to opportunities. The law is there to make sure students aren't left behind just because they learn differently or need extra support. I think sometimes people forget that these protections exist for a reason.
Totally. And like, I saw this firsthand with my cousin back in Sydney. She was diagnosed with dyslexia when she was, I think, 8 or maybe 9. Anyway, her parents had to go through this whole process to get her an individualized education program, an IEP. It was honestly a bit of a maze. There were meetings, forms, a lot of back and forth with the school. But in the end, it meant she got the support she needed, like extra time on tests and some one-on-one reading help. It made a massive difference for her. But wow, it was a lot for the family to navigate.
That's such a good example, Ruby. And it shows how these legal frameworks like IDEA and FAPE aren't just words on paper, they actually change lives. But as you said, it can be a real challenge for families to figure out how to use those rights. It's not always straightforward. So let's talk about IEPs a bit more, because they're kind of the heart of how schools put these rights into action. An IEP is basically a plan that's tailored to a student's unique needs. It's not just a list of accommodations, it's a whole strategy for helping that student succeed.
Yeah, and the cool thing is parents and guardians are actually a huge part of shaping those plans. Like, they're not just sitting on the sidelines. They're in the meetings, they're sharing what works at home, what doesn't, and they can push for things their kid really needs. I think sometimes schools forget that parents know their kids best, you know?
Absolutely. I read about this student, Jackson, a 7th grader in London. He was struggling with attention and reading, and his parents noticed early on. They pushed for an assessment, and the school worked with them to create an IEP. Jackson got things like extra breaks, some tech tools, and a bit of small group instruction. And honestly, it changed his whole attitude about school. He went from dreading it to actually looking forward to certain classes. Early intervention made all the difference.
That's so good to hear. And it's not always easy, right? Sometimes you have to really advocate, and it can feel like you're fighting the system. But when it works, it's just... well, it's kind of magic. I mean, not actual magic, but you know what I mean.
No, I get it. And I think it's worth saying, IEPs aren't just for academic stuff. They can include things like social skills, communication, even physical therapy, if that's what the student needs. It's about the whole person, not just test scores.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people hear IEP and think it's just paperwork, but it's really about giving kids a fair shot. And like making sure they're not just in the room, but actually learning and growing. So let's talk about what schools actually have to do to make all this work. It's not just about having a plan on paper, right? They've got to put it into action, like real support, real accommodations every day.
Yeah, and that can mean a lot of things. Sometimes it's as simple as moving a desk or giving extra time. Other times it's more complex, like using assistive technology or having a teaching assistant in the room. But the goal's always the same, making sure every student can participate fully.
But it's not always smooth sailing. I mean, mainstreaming students with disabilities into general classrooms can be tricky. There's stuff like teacher training, class sizes, even attitudes. Sometimes people just don't get it, or they're worried about fairness.
That's true. But I remember this teacher in Manchester, Ms. Patel. She completely transformed her classroom. She used flexible seating, visual schedules, and even peer buddies to help everyone feel included. It wasn't perfect, but the atmosphere changed. Students started helping each other, and the whole class benefited, not just the students with IEPs. It was really inspiring to see how creative support strategies can make a difference.
I love that. And it just shows inclusion isn't just about ticking boxes. It's about building a community where everyone belongs. And honestly, when schools get it right, it helps all students, not just the ones with disabilities.
Exactly. And I think that's a good note to end on. There's still a lot of work to do, but every step towards inclusion makes a difference.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next time with more stories and advice. So stick around and keep going beyond the label. Eric, always a pleasure.
Likewise, Ruby. Take care, everyone. See you next time.